All right, I got to tell you a little bit about this. That had to do with imaginations. He called this one Scream. I had no idea. I just thought he was spooky looking. I thought it was more extraterrestrial than it was terrestrial. But he was called Scream. My grandson already knew what his name was. And then when he said, I said, you know what the name is? Yeah, it says it's Scream. And 5-10 seconds after that, Dave said it was Scream. And I said to Colin, how'd you know that? We learned that in school. What else did you learn in school? Let's see. Well, then we had creation. This had to do with creation. I do like he did. I forgot already the name of this bug. Colin, what's the name of this bug? A what? A bombardier beetle. I know as much as it did before. Okay, all I know is he's quite powerful. He's got some kind of a sack here and a sack there, and when there's a prey comes that he's got to get rid of, those two sacks shoot out his backside. And it's like really hot liquid, really hot, because these two chemicals, when they get together, get really hot. Can you imagine that? God put all this in this crazy bug. And then, I guess you call it his tentacles or whatever those things are, that he moves real fast, faster than the speed of light, probably. It's amazing that God does with his creatures. So that was creation. That was one night. Well, then he spoke about the vision of dry bones. The Lord said to the prophet, will these bones live again? Now, when he made this, this was a skeleton. He started out with a skeleton. And I think he had the helmet. Maybe not. Can't remember. Anyway, he started with a skeleton. And then, till he was done, he put flesh on the skeleton. Simplifying that, you know, with God, all things are possible. If God says those bones are going to live again, you can count on it, they're going to live again. So that was one or the other. Quite remarkable. And he does this in a few minutes. Take me all day to fuss with it. Take me that much time just to try to match the paint up. He just throws a bunch of things together and stirs it up and it's got the color. Well, then this crazy fellow here. Looks like something you might see at Ocean City Boardwalk. An octopus. His hairdo. So how did this come about? This was recreation. Recreation. God can do amazing things with your life. He had the children come up and took a white paintbrush and just put anything on there they wanted. And they just made some white strokes, different places on here. And then the artist began to paint, like Jesus does with our lives. You know, sometimes you don't have much to work with. Sometimes he really just has a mess to work with. You come to Jesus with all your problems and all the things going wrong in your life. And he begins to work in your life. And like the song I sing, he dips his brush in the rainbow. And he never mentions the mess you've made. And he works with no condemnation. And he begins to recreate and do things in your life that you never thought possible. But if you allow him to, he can do amazing things in your life. As this artist did with a couple paint strokes that the children put on. That just what it was just a couple paint strokes. So this was the last night. This was Wednesday night. A couple of the kids came to me and said, Brother Roger, why does it need to be over? I said, it really doesn't, but we can take care of that next year. We can fix that next year. He can come and stay a little longer. All right. Now the little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. So that's what happened this week. Pretty amazing what you can do with some colors. Just a bunch of colors. Highlights on the face and cheeks. Pretty amazing. But just mixing the colors together. Wow. So while I was here, I was able to take and show them some other artists in the area that really don't paint, but they do other things that require talent as well. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John. That's going to be our key verse. Some interesting things in our Sunday school class I like to remark on. Brother Elroy said he was listening to Brother David Jeremiah, and Brother David Jeremiah put love this way. If you had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's a nice way to say that God loves you. You know, at home in your refrigerators, you have pictures of the grandkids and whatever else you have on there, but these are things that are dear to your heart. You have them attached to the refrigerator because you want to see them every day. And if Jesus had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Isn't that a nice way? Say he loves you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Again, I count it a privilege and honor to share your word today. And Lord, help me to be able to do that in a way that would be very simple, very clear. And help, Lord, each and every one here to grasp the truth of it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. The message is freedom to be what Christ wants us to be. Freedom to be what Christ wants us to be. I suppose I could have picked this message for around July, but this really isn't the kind of freedom I'm talking about. What are some of your first thoughts when you hear the word freedom? Anybody? No job. Oh, check with Jed. He'll take care of that. He'll show you how that is. Anyone else? I am going to talk about that. That job's part of it. Anyone else? No stress. I'm going to talk about that. That's also part of my message. Anyone else? America. Different kind of freedom, but that's still freedom. And I think that we are enjoying that freedom because of God. Blessing America. You hear that said a lot by the politicians, and God bless America. But I can tell you that God doesn't bless the things that he's opposed to. Peace. No debt. That's another area I'm going to talk about. Some of you have associated this word with liberty. We hear a lot about individual rights. We've already heard longing to be free from some kind of a situation or stress in your life that's causing you stress. Stress is very demanding, unrelenting, and draining. It could be a job. How many of you had jobs you absolutely, absolutely hated? I did too. I said, Lord, I really don't want to do this the rest of my life. I really don't. But God has a reason for putting us in those positions. How would you ever appreciate a good job if you didn't have a bad one? Huh? How would you appreciate a good job if you didn't have a bad one? How would you ever know what it's like to associate with people who have those jobs that you don't like? I can think of jobs right now that I would not want to do. But I am very, very grateful and thankful that we have people in them areas that can do that. I don't think I could do it. Now, Mike will say, Roger, if you're given the right situation, you can do it. And I believe that that is true. but I'd rather not do it. Let's put it that way. Let me say it that way. I'd rather not do that. There's lots of things we can think about. If you were at the scene of an accident, and when you got there, blood was gushing out of the person's neck. And Mike, of course, who's familiar with that type of thing, would say, put your hand over that. You talking to me? Yes. Now. Whew. I think at that point we would react, but boy, it would be tough. It'd be tough. You know, there is things that's just tough. And I'm just really happy somebody can do it. And they're okay. They're comfortable with it. Well, I don't know if they're comfortable, but I guess God designed them to be able to do it. I don't think you ever really get comfortable with those things. It's like doing funerals. I don't ever get comfortable. I just do them. It's part of what goes with the work, the job. Goes with the job. How about a difficult relationship? Perhaps you're in a difficult relationship. Stressful. Draining. Unrelenting. And then there's the financial struggles. Why is it that it seems like some people spend their lifetime with financial struggles? And then there's others that don't seem to be a problem at all. They can write a check for anything they want. And then there's others that have a problem writing a check because they just don't have the money. Always poor. Always struggling. As the prophet said it this way, putting the money into a bag with what? Holes in it. You ever feel that way? Sometimes you put your money into a bag, it's got holes in it. Don't trust in the uncertain riches of this world, because our riches are way beyond the blue. So they struggle with finances. Then there's some that struggle with health issues. Just seems like one health problem after another. It seems as though when they get done with one health issue, another one props up. Been there? This morning my wife got up and she said, honey, I just ache all over. So I take it you're not going to go to church with me. No, I'm sorry. Well, I'll miss her when she's not here. But she's not a never-ready battery like her sister. God made them uniquely different. He's made us all different. There's a number of restraints that many of us face in this life that keep us from enjoying life and pursuing our dreams. You ever have a dream shattered? I'm sure you have. You ever have a hope dashed? I'm sure you have. It's part of the prayer I have in weddings, that may all your good dreams come true. Jesus spoke about a very deeper aspect of freedom. And he spoke of the freedom that pertains to our souls, has nothing to do with this external life. He wants us to free us from every internal form of bondage that would prevent us from becoming the people that he created us to be. And this kind of freedom isn't achieved by war or revolution, but it's simply by the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, if you would continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, while you're in John, just page back a couple pages with me to John chapter 14. To John chapter 14. Same book, just back a few chapters, John chapter 14. Oh, verse 6. Well, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And you just stay there in John, but I'm going to slip back to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, where Nebuchadnezzar says this, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Well, he certainly knew what that was, because he was abased. He was caused to eat grass like a cow. His nails grew like the nails of an eagle. So he knew what it was like to be abased. And then, later on in John's Gospel, chapter 18. Chapter 18. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And he was looking at truth personified. Truth was before him. Absolute truth was before him. There was no greater truth in all the world than that which stood before him was truth. But of course, Pilate didn't recognize it. He didn't recognize the truth. That's why he was asking. Because he didn't recognize it. Pilate was of this world. He was of the kingdom of this world. But you are not. To continue in God's word means to abide. Abide in it. The word of God should fill our minds. The word of God should shape our attitudes. The word of God should shape our emotions. The word of God should direct our behavior. And the end result will be freedom from sin and all the deceptions that would try to get our attention and to captivate us. You know, we live in a world that continually feeds us with lies about God and about ourselves. Satan is the master of deceit. It is his goal to ensnare us in sin so that we'll be rendered ineffective and useless for God's purpose. Think about that. That's what his job is. To render you ineffective and to render you useless for God's purposes. That's his goal. He don't want you doing anything for the Lord. But if we know and obey the scriptures, we'll discover that the truth is what sets us free. And so, this morning, I want you to examine your lives. The first step to freedom is discovering what holds you captive. I want you to think about that for a minute. What holds your attention? What is it that holds your attention? What is it that grabs your life and you're willing to exchange so much time for it? What is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What is it that grasps your attention more than anything else? Think about it. Sometimes we're in bondage to false beliefs. What do I mean by that? Do you doubt your salvation? By some of the doctrine that I was raised on, there was times I doubted my salvation. If I were to ask you, do you know beyond 100% that you are saved today? Could you say yes? And if you can't say yes, why not? I want to know why not. So does God. He wants to know why not. Brother Roger, I don't think you can know 100% whether you're saved or not. Yes, you can. And don't you believe that for a moment that you can't. That's nothing but doubt. Doubt's an enemy of faith. You listening to me? Doubt is an enemy of faith. It's one of those foes that come from the devil. He loves when you're doubtful. He loves it. He'd do everything he can so you can doubt. That's his area of expertise, is to cause doubt in your life. You doubt whether you're saved. You think that God's acceptance is based on doing good things. Let me tell you something. Heaven will have a lot of people in there that have done good things because they made it there because of God's grace, but hell will also have a lot of good people that didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. Hell will be full of good people. Are you listening to me? It isn't by works. We don't obtain salvation by works. It's a deception. It's deceptions that leave us uncertain about our standing with the Lord. And so because of that, we're always questioning if we have done enough. You see, that's what happens when you think that if you do good things, you'll go to heaven. Because then you're always wondering if you've done enough. Always wondering if I've done enough good things. The key that unlocks this spiritual jail is truth. Our salvation is not kept by our own abilities. We are not saved by works. God has caused us to be born again according to his mercy and his grace. And his Holy Spirit protects us through faith and guarantees that our inheritance in heaven is secure. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Another form of captivity is sinful habits. And the attitude today is essentially, this is my life and I can do whatever I want. It is not your life. The Bible says you were bought with a price. And you belong to him. You do not belong to yourself. And if you think you do, you're selfish. Your body belongs to him. The Bible says that you are his temple. Isn't that what it says? So your body doesn't belong to you. It's my body. I can do with it what I want. No. You're wrong. 100% wrong. You couldn't be wronger. It's not your body. It's the Lord's. Yeah, and even if you're not saved, all the bodies belong to him. And one day, we'll all get a new body. Did you know that? Everybody does. Even the wicked get a new body. Ours is for eternal life. Theirs for his eternal damnation. But we all get a body. Which body are you getting? I hope for eternal life. If we continue to tolerate sinful practices in our life, we will become a slave to them. Ephesians says, chapter 4, lay aside the old self and its sinful habits, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So what are some of the practices? Well, how about sexual immorality for one? Lying, profanity, drunkenness, lots of other addictive behaviors. And all these behaviors have a way of capturing us. At first, it produces just a little twinge of conscience. And then if we continue to ignore the Spirit's conviction, we'll soon begin to rationalize and excuse our behavior. Pretty soon what we're doing is okay. It's all right. Everybody doing it. Everybody does it. It's all right. And so this goes on for so long in our lives that we become comfortable. In fact, we consider that to be a part of who we are. You listening to me? That's just the way I am. That's just who I am. Really? Well, if you'll believe that, you'll believe a lot of other demonic things that come straight out of hell. That's just the way I am. These emotions can hinder our relationship with God. And not only with God, but with other people. You listening to me? Not just God. That kind of stuff will involve your relationship with other people. It'll affect it. Yes, it will. Satan is a liar. He's a liar from the very beginning. Freedom only comes through accepting the Holy Spirit's conviction. We confess these behaviors as sin and do as John the Baptist said, turn away from them and repent and turn to the Lord in obedience. That was John the Baptist's message. Some of the most difficult areas of captivity to recognize is emotional bondage. Why is that, Pastor? Because the feelings are hidden deep within us. They become with us so long that, yes, we think they're part of us. We should have, and I heard it this morning, the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts, according to Colossians 3:15. We're controlled by damaging emotions. Here's where I can spend a little time. Let's take these one at a time. How about fear? Can anybody tell me how many fear nots are in the Bible? You've heard it from me. 365. Do you think that's just by coincidence or chance? Huh? How many of you didn't know that? There was 365 fear nots. Go ahead. 365 fear nots. How many days are there in our year? You got a fear not for every day. Every day. Fear not. So then why are you fearing? Why do you worry about tomorrow? I don't know if I have enough money to pay the bills. You're not alone. This ain't the first one that's happened to. But don't fret about it. Don't give anxious thought about it. It's what the Lord said. Don't give an anxious thought about it. Anxiety, I didn't get there yet. Don't be anxious about it. Anxious means worrying about it, thinking about it, spending a lot of time about thinking about it. Don't give it an anxious thought. He said, sufficient are the evils thereof of what? Today. Tomorrow never comes, because when it does, it's always today. Sufficient are the evils thereof of today. Sufficient. That means you got plenty. Don't worry about tomorrow yet. Sufficient are those problems that you're faced with today. And he knew you had problems. That's why he said it. Sufficient are the problems of today. Don't be concerned about tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Is there any one of you that can think by thinking that you can add 1 inch to your growth? A lot of luck if you can do it. How many of you wanted to be taller than you were? I did. Be content with what you got. Be content. Anxiety. Oh, we're just so anxious about so many things. Story comes to me immediately about Martha. Oh, Martha is so encumbered with so many things. She worried about so many things. But Mary chose a better part to sit at my feet and listen to Jesus. Mary, Martha, she's just had to worry about serving. Oh, we don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. Oh, with probably too much pepper. I don't put too much pepper. Don't too much salt in that. Oh, she just... That napkin's not good enough. It's got holes in it. We should have thrown that away. Don't put that down at the table for him. Insecurity. Well, if you're looking at the world to take care of you, you're in trouble. And then there's the thing, got to have lots of money. Really? So what if the value of the dollar disappears? What are you going to do with it? You got 100,000? You think that's sufficient to take care of you? In 6 months, what if they devalue the dollar? Then what are you going to do with it? You might as well take it out and put it in the burning barrel with the trash. Try burning money for a change. Because that's how much it'll be worth. Are you listening to me? The Lord has warned us, don't put your money in them bags with holes in. Don't live for this day. Don't live in this world. Don't love the things of mammon. Because they're just fleeting. They're only temporal. These are temporal riches. Don't get yourself involved with temporal things. Because someday you'll be very sad. If God permits and God tarries, may happen in 29, they jumped out the window. They lost, their money was devalued. You remember hearing that story? In the 29 crash when they jumped out the window? Because their money was worth nothing. Nothing. Whew. False guilt. Some carry false guilt with them. Guilty. Feel guilty about something. Don't go to bed feeling that way. Take care of it right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I don't like this feeling. Please take it away from me. You went to the cross for me, and you went to the cross for everything I've ever done. Please take this away from me. Take this guilt away. In Jesus' name, amen. Job done. What's next? What's next you have? Check that off the list. Jealousy. Oh, boy. We can spend some time there. Can always find out what you're made of when it comes time to settlement. When the settlement time comes, take care of mom and dad's money. Can always find out what you're made of then. can always find out how your brother and sister fare with stuff like that. The real part of them comes out and shines. Jealousy. Always worried that somebody's getting more than you're getting. Hello? Where was you at when mom and dad needed somebody to take them to get to the pharmacy and to take them to the hospital and to take them to all their visits, to take them to the eye doctor, the foot doctor, the nail doctor, the ear doctor, the nose and throat specialist? Where was you at when you were running them around? Hello? Don't spend no more time there, Roger. Get on to the next one. Anger. I used to think, now how could anybody get that mad? I don't have to think that now. Just steal my wife's purse, I'll show you how mad you can get. I never thought I could get that mad that I'd shake, but I didn't shake. But boy, I was pacing. That day I couldn't do nothing. I was stuck in my son's apartment. Oh, I just wish I could go back to that parking lot for just one more minute. Packing. Good example you are, preacher. I'd like to take a picture of you and show it up here for everybody to see. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Woo! Whew. You see, it hits all of us. These things hit all of us. How about bitterness? Ever been bitter? You know what bitterness is? Carrying a grudge. You ever known anybody to carry a grudge? They were so mad at somebody, they carried a grudge. They've done it for years. Are you listening to me? Not just a week. Let's see. 3 weeks, I guess it took me to get over that. How many of you known people to carry a grudge for years? Ooh, that's a long time. For years. What did Jesus say? Forgive as I have what? Forgiven you. You want Jesus to forgive you? Let go of it. Let it go. So Jesus can forgive you. He loves you. He's got your picture on his refrigerator. He loves you. Whew. Wow. On forgiveness. That's the other one. Let it go. Get rid of it. Let it go. Let it go. It's human nature to try to get even. That's human nature. That's the old man. The old man's like that. The old man wants to get even. Wants revenge. But what does the new man want? Huh? Let it go. Let it go. Forgiveness. And once we recognize these attitudes and these feelings, we can counteract them with scriptural truth from God's word. Secondly, I got to hurry up. To become free, we need to understand the effects of our bondage. If we don't deal with whatever controls us, our spiritual growth will be hindered. Hebrews 12:1 says to lay aside every encumbrance and sin that does so easily beset you. If we try to live the Christian life with all these burdens, we'll be unable to be who God created us to be, to achieve what he has planned for us to accomplish. You see, the consequences don't end with us. But they affect our testimony in the world, and other people will see that our behavior doesn't match our profession of faith. Thirdly, we need to learn the truth about our salvation. Our freedom's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are now God's children. We are joint heirs with Christ. We have been accepted. We have been forgiven. And we are spiritually alive, Romans 8. We have the indwelling of the Spirit to guide us and to empower us and to overcome our bondages. And through his divine power and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, his Son, God has provided everything we need to live a godly life and be partakers of his divine nature. We need to walk in the freedom that the Lord desires. And we can begin by believing what he has said about our salvation in his word. We can believe it and accept it, our position in Christ. And as we continue to fill our minds with his word and rely on the Holy Spirit, we will be able to respond to things that happen each and every day. Because of these truths, we'll discover that Jesus was right when he said, "We will know the truth, and the truth will make us free." Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Brother Roger, I could use help. This message was for me. Would you slip your hand up? You were preaching right at me. Hands are going up everywhere. Mine's up. I needed it too. Wow. Wonderful. 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 Now I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, I know this message you laid on my heart, because you know that I was just struggling with what to share today. And Lord, I wanted to be sure it was from you. So that's why, Lord, I asked and I waited, because I wanted to be sure it was from you. And then, Lord, when I began to study it, it spoke to my heart. Thank you for dealing with me. I don't want anything between me and you. I want you to cleanse me. Forgive me. Keep me pure. Keep me pure. Keep me lovable. Because, the Lord, I want my light to shine in this dark world that needs it so much. Oh, thank you, Lord, for each and every hand today. Thank you for each and every one. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the wonderful glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. Hallelujah.